Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, the verses 13 to 17. Hear the word of God. And he, that is Jesus, went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thus ends the reading of Holy Scripture. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of His Word to our hearts. Dear friends, a good family doctor is a great blessing. When we have a good family doctor, we can make an appointment with him when we are not feeling well. And we can go and see him, and he can diagnose our condition. He can prescribe some medication and order some tests or refer us to a specialist. He will do whatever it takes to get to the bottom of what is troubling us. But friends, it's not enough to have a physician for the body only. We also need a physician for the soul. In fact, we need a physician for the soul even more than we need a physician for the body. And that is because one day the body will die. But the soul will live on. It will live to all eternity. And unless we have a physician for the soul, we will perish in our sins. Now, thankfully, there is such a physician, and he is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We just read together from Mark 2, the verses 13 to 17. Jesus was in Capernaum in Galilee. And while he was there, he healed the paralytic man who was lowered through the roof by his friends. We read of that earlier in the chapter, verses 1 to 12. Following this, Jesus made his way to the shore of the Sea of Galilee, accompanied by a large crowd of people, probably citizens of Capernaum from all walks of life. Evidently, these people were amazed at Jesus' teaching and miracles. Many of them may have just witnessed the healing of the paralytic, and they knew that Jesus was no ordinary man, and so they followed him, probably in the hope of watching him perform yet another miracle. Well, along the way, Mark tells us Jesus saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, otherwise and more commonly known as Matthew. It's the same Matthew who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. In fact, as he was collecting taxes, Jesus passed by him. And when Jesus saw him, he said to him, Follow me. And he did. Well, later that day, Matthew held a feast in Jesus' honor. And while they were eating, Mark tells us that many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. But when the scribes and Pharisees saw this, they were outraged, and they asked the disciples, How is it that he eats and drinks with publicans and sinners? And Mark writes that when Jesus heard this, he said to them, and these are the words of our text, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus here in these verses describes himself as a physician. And it's to that subject that we turn our attention with God's help. My theme is Christ, the great physician. And we'll consider, first of all, the patients he receives, secondly, the condition he diagnoses, and thirdly, the remedy he prescribes. First, then, the patients he examines. A good doctor has patience. Without patience, a doctor cannot fulfill his calling. And what is true of every doctor is also true for the Lord Jesus Christ. As a physician, Jesus also has his patients. Who are they? Well, first of all, let's consider who they are not. Jesus says they are not those who are whole, or we could say healthy, and they are not those who are righteous. Now, Jesus here is referring, of course, to the scribes and the Pharisees. By describing them as whole or righteous, Jesus was not saying that they were actually whole or righteous. Rather, he was speaking tongue-in-cheek. He was saying that that is how they themselves thought of themselves. They thought of themselves as being whole and righteous. Why? Well, because they believed that they could earn their own righteousness before God. And they could do this by keeping the law of Moses and the tradition of the elders. And they did, at least that's what they thought. And therefore they regarded themselves as whole and righteous. Now, such people are not our Lord's patients. Why not? For the simple reason that they are not sick. Well, they are sick, to be sure, desperately sick. Perhaps even more sick than the publicans and the sinners. But the reason why he does not receive them as his patients is because they do not see their need for him. They had no need for a mediator to intercede on their behalf before God. They had no need for a substitute to bear the wrath of God against sin. They believed they could stand before God on the basis of their own merits. They had no need of anyone or anything. Well, who then are our Lord's patients? Well, they are not those who are whole, but rather those who are sick. They are not the righteous, but those who are sinners. Now, Jesus here is referring to the publicans and the sinners. And the publicans especially were probably the most hated and despised members of Jewish society. In the first place, since they were employed of the Roman government, publicans were regarded as collaborators with an occupying force, something similar to collaborators in Europe who collaborated with the Nazis during World War II. Secondly, publicans had very broad powers. They could tax almost anything. They could tax your property and your income. They could issue license fees and registration fees, even docking fees for your boat. What is more, they could set their own rates. And if you didn't pay, they had the authority to place you under arrest. Now, naturally, this caused a great deal of resentment among the common people. Many felt they were being charged unfairly for things they should not have to be charged for in the first place. And what especially angered them was the fact that a large portion of the money that the tax collectors collected went to line their own pockets. And to make matters even worse, publicans were known to be very corrupt, often accepting bribes from the wealthy to reduce and falsify their taxes. Now, for these reasons, publicans were vilified by the religious leaders of the Jews. They were regarded as ceremonially unclean because they associated with the Romans, who were pagans. And as such, publicans were forbidden to enter into a synagogue, nor could they give testimony in court. In the Gospels, they're usually lumped together with harlots, Gentiles, and sinners. One commentator writes this. He says they were as offensive to Jews for their economic and social practices as lepers were for their uncleanness. But it was to such people that Jesus came. It was such people that Jesus came to call. It is such people that Jesus receives as his patients. And Jesus illustrated that earlier in that day when he called Levi to become one of his disciples. We read in our text that after Matthew or Levi had held a feast in his honor, Jesus was eating and drinking with multitudes of publicans and sinners. Why? Because unlike the scribes and the Pharisees, these people knew that they were sick. They knew that they were not able to earn their own righteousness before God. They knew that they could not keep the law of Moses and the tradition of the elders. That was impossible for them. They were too far gone. They understood their need for a mediator. They understood that they needed somebody to intercede on their behalf before God. They understood that they needed a substitute to bear the wrath of God against sin. These people were sick, desperately sick, and they knew it. And these are our Lord's patients. Not the whole, but the sick. Not the righteous, but the sinners. Oh, my friends, are you sick today? Do you realize that you are a sinner before God? And that you cannot reconcile yourself before God, nor can you pacify His wrath against you? My friend, Christ is willing to receive you. He is willing to be your great physician. Sometimes when you move to a new city, it can be difficult to find a family doctor. You phone every doctor in the yellow pages only to find out that they're not accepting new patients. But Jesus isn't like that. He is always willing and ready to accept new patients, and His offices never ever closed. He is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. And no condition is too serious or too complicated for Him. Whatever your condition is, He is able and also willing to help. Oh, since that is so, will you not come to Him? Will you not believe on His name? My friend, do not look to your own righteousness. The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before the Lord. And it also says that there's none that does good, no, not one. And therefore I say to you today, look away from yourself and look to Christ. He and He alone can help you. He and He alone can save you. He is the great and only physician for the soul. So this great physician has His patients. But He also accurately diagnoses their condition. And that brings us to our second point. Friends, a good doctor will be able to diagnose your condition based on certain symptoms. And that is true also for the Lord Jesus Christ. He too is able to accurately diagnose our condition. And you say, what is our condition? What is our fundamental problem? What is it that gives rise to so much grief and sorrow and pain in our lives? It's very simple. It is sin. Sin lies at the root of all of our problems. Whatever grief and sorrow and pain we experience in our lives, it can all be traced back to sin. Sin is like a terrible disease. Jesus says as much in our text. He speaks of those who need a physician as those who are sick. That's the word that He uses to describe them. We are all sick, every one of us. From the time that we are conceived in the womb of our mother, we are sick. We are sick with sin. And what is more, that sickness affects every aspect of our being. It affects our mind, our hands, our feet, our ears, our eyes, and our heart. It affects everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think. It affects our priorities, our attitudes, our values. Every aspect of our being is tainted with sin. It's like a cancer that spreads throughout our whole body. We have a name for this. It's called total depravity. The doctrine of total depravity teaches that sin has affected every aspect of our being, rendering us totally incapable of doing any saving good. And sadly, however, and that's what makes sin such a terrible disease, but the sad thing is we are completely unaware of this. Just as people can live with cancer for months and even years without even knowing that they have it, so everyone who was born into this world is completely unaware of how sick they are. And that's because by nature we are blind to our sin. The only way that we will see our sin and the seriousness of it is if our eyes are opened by Christ through the Holy Spirit. Think of a surgeon. Surgeon tells you that you have cancer, but you don't believe him. You say, I feel perfectly fine. But then he orders a CT scan or an MRI, and he shows you the results. But the Lord Jesus does the same. He also shows us our sin. You see, how does he do that? Well, he does that by the preaching of the law. The law of God is a reflection of God himself. It teaches us what God requires of us in order to stand before him and live. Now, most people, when they read the law of God, have no problem. They read the fact, for example, that the law says, thou shalt not kill. And they think to themselves, well, that commandment doesn't apply to me. I've never killed anyone. Therefore, I'm okay. But my friends, when Christ begins to work in our hearts by his Holy Spirit, then we come to see that there is a deeper meaning to the law. We come to see that when God, for example, says, thou shalt not kill, he is forbidding not only the actual act of murder, but he is also forbidding all of the attitudes and actions and thoughts and feelings that can lead to murder. The Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 40 explains this very well. In question and answer 105, the question is asked, what does God require in the sixth commandment, which is, you shall not kill? And the answer of the catechism is this, that neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor by myself or by another, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge. Also, that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Wherefore also the magistrate is armed with the sword to prevent murder. And then the next question, question and answer 106, asks this, but this commandment seems only to speak of murder. And the answer is, in forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that he accounts all these as murder. And then question and answer 107 asks, but is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? And the answer is no. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. The point is, what God requires in his law is not only perfect actions, but also perfect thoughts and feelings and attitudes. Because he is absolutely holy, God cannot and will not settle for anything less than absolute perfect obedience to his law. And the fact that you and I are fallen in Adam and therefore are utterly incapable of rendering that perfect obedience is no excuse. For we fell of our own free will. And as a result, we stand justly under the wrath and condemnation of God. Well, my friends, this is what Christ teaches sinners. He teaches them about and shows them their sin. And he keeps on doing it. That's important to keep that in mind. Some people seem to think that once we're saved, we no longer have anything to do with sin. Sin is behind us, they say. We no longer have to think about it. And the minister should certainly not preach too much about it. But my friends, that's utterly false. Again, I quote from our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 44, question and answer 115. The Catechism asks this question, why will God have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached since no man in this life can keep them? Now notice what it says here. God will have His law strictly preached. That means without compromise, without sanding the edges, without toning down its righteous demands or its penalties for failing to meet those demands. Why? And two reasons are given, but I'll only focus on the first one. First of all, that all our lifetime we may more and more know our sinful nature. You see that? We are never done with sin. Rather, we need to learn to see our sin more and more and more. Why? Not as an end in itself. And certainly not in order to drive us to despair, but as our catechism says, that we may become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and the righteousness of Christ. The law is a schoolmaster, as Paul says, that drives us to Christ. It is that which shows us that we cannot save ourselves, that we need a mediator, and that the only mediator for sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that reason, my friends, we should never tire of hearing the law read or preached. The law is our friend. Without it, we cannot be saved. And as our great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ takes the law and He uses it to diagnose our condition and to expose our sickness before our eyes. And He does so with absolute perfect accuracy. But not only does Christ diagnose our condition, He also prescribes the remedy. And that brings us to our third and final point. Jesus and His disciples were in Levi's house, surrounded by tax collectors and sinners. And they were eating and drinking together and talking together. And Mark tells us that within a few minutes, the gathering attracted the attention of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees were legalists. They believed that by observing certain man-made rules and regulations, that they could earn the favor of God. And one of the rules and regulations that the Pharisees held to was that they were not allowed to associate with Gentiles, including Jews who did not keep the law. To associate with such people, they believed, was to make oneself ceremonially unclean. And certainly any respecting rabbi, like Jesus claimed to be, would never be seen eating and drinking with such people. And so you can imagine their surprise when they heard that Jesus was in Levi's house eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. They were scandalized. And so they gathered at Levi's house to see for themselves. And what they saw shocked them. There was Jesus, eating and drinking with publicans and sinners. But rather than ask Jesus to explain himself, they asked His disciples. Probably because every time they approached Jesus, He made them look bad and foolish. And they asked them, how is it that He eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? We could also translate it, how can it be that He eats with publicans and sinners? But before the disciples could give an answer, Jesus intercepted them. And we read in verse 17 that when Jesus heard it, He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And as we've already seen, those who are well are the scribes and the Pharisees. They were well because they thought they were well, even though they weren't. Those who are sick of the tax collectors and the sinners and all sinners of every kind, they were not well because they were sinners and they knew it. And Jesus rightly points out that those who are healthy don't go to see the doctor, but rather those who are sick. And that's exactly what's happening here. The reason why the publicans and sinners are coming to Him is because they have a need for Him. They know that they're sinners and that He is the only one who can do anything for them. And then, as if to drive this point home, Jesus declares, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And in making that statement, Jesus was prescribing the remedy that His patients needed. And what was it? It was repentance. What is repentance, you say? Well, the word to repent in the original Greek means to turn around. In this case, it means to do an about-face on sin. Consider these publicans and sinners. They were living in sin. They were not even trying to live according to the law of God. They were living for themselves and for their own pleasure. But as the Lord began to work in their hearts, they saw that they could not go on living as they always have. They needed to change. They needed to go in the opposite direction. They needed to stop living for themselves and start living for God. They needed to stop pursuing sin and start pursuing righteousness. Not as the scribes and Pharisees taught, in order to earn the favor of God. That was impossible. And they knew it. But rather in order to bring glory and honor to Him and to express their thankfulness for sending His only begotten Son into the world to pay the penalty for their sins and to reconcile them to God and to give them the gift of everlasting life. This is the remedy. It's repentance. And my friends, that's the same remedy that our Lord prescribes today. Are you living in sin? Are you living for yourself and your own pleasure and the pleasures of the world? My friend, Jesus calls you to repent. And not only to repent, but also to believe. To believe what? To believe on Him. He calls you to look to Him and His atoning sacrifice on the cross as the only hope and ground of your salvation. This is why He came. This is why He came also to call sinners to repentance and faith in His name. My friend, have you repented? Unless you repent, you will surely perish. And when our Lord comes on the day of judgment, He will cast you into hell. And there you will remain to an everlasting eternity. Oh, do you see that today? If so, then turn from your wicked ways, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the promise of the gospel is, you shall be saved. Jesus is the great physician. And as such, He receives patients, He diagnoses their condition, and He prescribes the remedy. Oh, my friend, will you not come to this physician if you have never done so before? He is able and He is willing to receive you. No one is too unworthy for Him. No one is too sinful. If He ate and drank with publicans and sinners, then He is willing to receive you as well. Since that is so, my friend, do not delay. Come to this physician and you shall be healed. Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have just heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including who we are and what we believe and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. The Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station. Please send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.